Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Thou Shalt Suffer. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, let's jump in at verse 10, and I'm going to go left to right, so hold on. I may not stop and wait for you, so you might have to write it down, or you can get the message and listen again or something. I got more verses and I have time, but I'm going to make a run at this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. It's gonna happen. And the Bible doesn't even say it's gonna happen. It says you're blessed when it happens and if it happens. So your perspective has to at some point be eternal, not just here. You go, well, this is horrible and they said some bad things and they're mean and this is not fun. It's not gonna be fun all the time. And one of the biggest areas where we suffer, at least in the beginning, is dealing with sin and with temptation, personally. And you say, well, yeah, but I get so weak and everything, and then I just gotta have this, I gotta do that, I don't wanna suffer. And that's the problem. You've got to agree to the suffering, or you'll never grow up. There is gonna be pain down here because your flesh screams at you. So you say, well, I want my life to change. Then thou shalt suffer, because there's not going to be any change without suffering. The whole premise of the gospel is there had to be suffering for us to have change. I mean, if it wasn't about the cross, Jesus could have been born of a virgin, lived a nice life, said, hey, it's me, nice seeing you guys, I'm going back, and just boom, ascended into heaven. The cross. Without the cross, without the suffering, we don't have any power to overcome the suffering. Now see, it's not just suffering. When you suffer, and we'll get to some verses about this, you suffer, but the good thing is there's an upside on the other side of the suffering. Go to Matthew 16, 24. Now I read this verse throughout the scripture where Jesus says this. It's not very complicated, but it is huge. Matthew 16, 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You say, well, I want to follow Jesus. You are never going to pull off following Jesus if you cannot get past denying yourself. I want what I want when I want it. And he says, well, I thought you said you wanted to follow me. You can't say yes to that and yes to me. You can't have two masters. You're gonna love one, hate the other, despise the one, be loyal to the other, pick a lane. So the first step, you say, okay, I'm gonna suffer through this. I will deny myself. You say, well, that's horrible, God. You know, these things are fun, they're pleasurable. If it's so much fun, why are you so miserable? Why do you feel like crap half the time? The guilt, the shame, all this stuff that comes with it. Like, I'm such a loser. I can't stop this. I can't do this. Get in control of your life by giving control of your life to someone else who's got the power to overcome these controlling things. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You are going to have to die for him to live. And you have to lose you to find you. You have to lose you for him to take over. You say, well, but what about me? He's going to do so much better with you than you'll ever do with you. John chapter 16, John 16, 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Okay? In me you may have peace. Jesus talking. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So you're gonna have tribulation in the world, but I've overcome that. Go to Romans chapter 8, and I wish I had time to read you all of chapter 8. I'll read just a few little things through here and then kind of hit one little block I'm after. Romans chapter 8, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's what people are after, some life, some peace. because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. And that is the question. Does the Holy Spirit live inside of you? You cannot be a Christian without that being the case. And if he lives in you, then you've got more power. The devil's trying to tell you don't. You have God living in you. Who's going to beat that? And the devil comes along and says, no, you got to do this again. You know, you never were happy without this. Let's go back, go do that. And all you have to do is activate the turbocharger God, whatever you want to describe it as, and he blows him away. There is no competition. The power of God is so much greater than the power of evil. Then he says, now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live the way you were really supposed to live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, like daddy, what it would be translated. Now listen to this. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, go over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and then we're going to go to Philippians chapter 1, and you'll see a recurring theme here, Paul writing to these different churches, these different people in these churches, and similar themes that he addresses with them. 2 Corinthians 1, apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, down in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Now why? Why is it so huge that he comforts us in our tribulation? That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You get comforted by God so you can show up for someone else. And when you check out, when you get out of the game, you say, well, I'm out, I'm not doing this anymore, then people are left by themselves. Steal, kill, destroy, that's his purpose. And then people wonder, I'm crying out to God, I need help, God send me help, why does no one come help me? And then, you know, God show up, he says, well, I'm trying to show up, but the way I show up is through my body, the body of Christ, the church, his people. And when you don't stay in contact with him and have the relationship with him and suffer through your stuff, you miss out on the opportunities to help someone else. And they wonder where God is. And God's wondering where you are because you're the emissary. You're it. And so you live and you die and you go, what was that? Well, that was a complete waste almost. Yeah, the guy made heaven, but what did he accomplish? Never was God able to really take over and be the Lord, the master of his life and do what he wanted to do. Now, how do you think I'm such an expert in talking about this? Because I get all wrapped around the axle, my own stuff, my own selfishness. Then I get in a restaurant, I get in a place somewhere, and I feel the Holy Spirit tugging me in a way. I'm like, I don't have time for those people. I don't want to talk to him. And then I get furious, you know, get so frustrated with myself. Like, what am I doing? Wasting, and it's not even my life that I'm wasting. It's his life. I am bought with a price. I don't even own me anymore. I'm a slave. I'm AWOL when I don't submit to God. But man, when all the cylinders are firing, crazy stuff happens. And you end up in a place and somebody asks a question and there's a conversation and somebody becomes a Christian or gets encouraged or comforted, whatever it is. And you go, wow, why haven't I lived this way forever? And then you get a little weak, you get a little sideways, and the devil says, hey, you know what? You need to do a little something for you, brother. You serving God so much. Come over here and we'll take a break, you and me. And then you find yourself in some back room smoking some weed, looking at some porn, whatever you're doing, trying to, you know, get a little, oh yeah, a little something for me. Make him your something. The next verse there, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation," or the comfort that comes along. This is the thou shalt suffer. Here's the deal. You're gonna suffer no matter what. It is better to suffer for doing the right thing than the wrong thing. Enough suffering for the wrong reasons. If you can realize, okay, I'm suffering, but God's trying to teach me something. He's allowed this in my life. I can deal with that. But when all you can come up with is, "I would not say no to this, and I've brought all this on myself," that's crazy. How long are you going to keep at that? Philippians chapter 1. And I've highlighted some things in here too. This stuff you need to hear. Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to jump in verse 6. "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." God the Father is trying to finish what he starts in you. Why don't you help with the process? Because it's going to escalate. You say, "Well, I want what I want when I want it. I will not suffer." And God says, "Okay, I get it." This is little kid parent stuff, by the way. This is so inane. It is so simple. A parent looks at a kid and the kid says, "Well, I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it." And the parent says, "Well, I get that. I understand that. You have a will issue. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to win, because if I don't win as the parent, you lose in your life. And you may lose your life." So the kid goes, "Well, my mom and dad's not around. I'm going to do whatever I want to do." And then the parent who loves them comes along and says, "I love you. You did it again. Here's the consequence." And you go, "Oh, I hate the consequence. Now I'm suffering anyway." And then you go, "Well, you can't make me." So we go do it again. And then the parent who loves the kid goes, "Okay, this is not working. I'm going to have to keep ratcheting up. It's going to have to escalate, where the pain that comes as a consequence is greater than the pleasure that this person is deriving from this insanity." And you think, "Well, that's not what God's doing to me." That's exactly what he's doing with us. And you've got to start seeing the correlation, especially if you're a Christian. You have to say, "Okay, could it possibly be that my suffering is tied to God trying to get my attention?" And he's not being mean. The book says it is his kindness. It is his gentleness that leads us to repentance, to changing our mind. And it just depends on what your tolerance for pain is. He finishes what he starts. Go down, Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me," and he's in a bad place, suffering, "the things that have happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." When someone sees you suffering and they go, "Wait a minute, you're not complaining, you're not moaning, you're not doing all these things people normally do. How do you do that?" They go, "Man, I trust God. I'm not being silly about it. I know he's going to take care of me, and there's a reason for this." Then that other person goes, "Whoa, dude, if you can do that, then I can do this." And we encourage each other by sticking with it. Down to verse 21 on that chapter. "For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain." This perspective, it's just a different way of living. And then down in verse 29. "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him." Now look at this. Believing in him, that's awesome. It's been granted on behalf of Christ for us to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. Believing's great. I don't want to suffer. But as it turns out, it's the only way for me that I learn. If the consequence didn't come, if the suffering didn't come, I'd just keep going doing whatever I wanted to do, right? That's what human beings do. That's what kids do. But you know what provokes a child about as bad as anything? When a parent will not say no. I sit down with these kids who their parents handed them cash, said, "You know what, whatever, just don't make any problems for us. You go just do what you want to do. Don't get into trouble. Don't get arrested." And there's no guidelines. Kids need boundaries. And God gives us these boundaries. He gives them to us in his word. He is not trying to ruin my life by saying no to certain things when I suffer. He's trying to show me what he intended. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. Therefore, we could no longer endure it. We thought it good to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we should suffer tribulation just as it happened, and you know. And then down in verse 7, therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we are comforted concerning you by your faith. We know it's worth it. Now, if you've ever been through any suffering or in the midst of it, it can get completely overwhelming and discouraging, right? 2 Timothy chapter 3, one little verse, verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I'm telling you guys, underline this stuff, memorize it, remember it. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. The category here is if you just decide to live a godly life, someone is going to push back. You've got to stop being shocked by this. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Now, I'm marinated on this, and maybe I've read it before. You need to underline this if you're comfortable underlining something, because this will mess you up. Simple little part of a verse. Hebrews 5, 8, talking about Jesus, says this: though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, what in the world is going on there? Jesus is the Son of God, and the scripture says he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. How else am I going to learn obedience than the way Jesus learned obedience? Through the things that he suffered. Read Hebrews 12 with me, just the first few verses here. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and that's referring back to chapter 11, these great heroes of the faith, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Okay. That little deal implicit in there is if you're laying aside every weight, you're going to suffer doing that. You're going to have to stop. You're going to have to give something up. You're going to have to say no to the flesh and yes to God. That is not going to be pleasant. You hear of stories where a guy becomes a Christian and bam, he just quit drugs, nothing ever again. Great. Not everybody has that experience. And some people suffer, have temptation, painful withdrawals, and it goes on for years until they beat it, or maybe a few months if they're blessed to have it happen quickly. But here he says, run this race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and then this principle, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy that was set before him. How in the world can you say there's joy set before you, but you've got a cross you're facing? Because he knew what was beyond the cross, and the joy is us. So you say no to a sin. You say no, you suffer because you say there's something beyond this suffering. There's a promise. There's a life. There's peace. There's everything I want if I would just stop saying yes to this and start saying yes to God and no to this. You got to be somewhere in this process with something. And I'm trying to tell you, whatever you're suffering through or not suffering through, you've got to figure out to keep suffering through it and hold on because it will pass. 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're almost done now. 1 Peter chapter 3, and I referred to this a little earlier, verse 14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. If you suffer for doing the right thing, then just go with it and say, okay. Maybe one more. 1 Peter 4. Now listen to this. This is unbelievable stuff. 1 Peter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now let me read it again. Arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. You want to stop sinning a particular sin? Then suffer through and say no to it, and then it will not have dominion over you anymore. You just say, you know what? We're not living this way. We're not dying this way. My God lives in me, and he has power over this. I'm not doing this anymore. And if you'll win one time, suffer through it one time, then you go, whoa, I don't have the shame, guilt, all the junk that went with it the last time. Now I made it. Then it comes again. It's not going away. It'll come again. You go, well, if I did it once, I can do it twice. These guys stand up going through treatment, say 6 months sober, 9 months, I'm going to graduate. I'm clean. I'm sober. How do you get clean and sober? One temptation at a time. And then you string together 9 months or 9 years. We got people in here who have been clean and sober for decades. How do they do that? They suffer through the temptation for the joy that's set before them. They say, you know what? This may be fun in the moment, but it's going to destroy my life. So I will stick to my guns. I will persevere, even if there's pain and suffering, because when I get to the other side, it'll be worth saying no to this. Because I said yes to this my whole life, and look what it got me. Nothing. Or it took what I had away. Then the next verse, 3. For we have spent, now look at, this is in the Bible. This is like how people talk. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. All your buddies go, what's that? Well, are you better than us now? You're not going to go party with us anymore? What, you got God or something? That's persecution. You got to get through that. Then go down to verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, as a busybody in other people's matters, which I love that that gets thrown in there. Because you start reading that verse and go, no, not a murderer, not a thief, not an evildoer. Oh, I'm a busybody. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. And then verse 19, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him who in doing good as to a faithful creator.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
So here's the homework. I told a group of men this the other day. I want you to think about, and everybody just stay with me a minute. Think about the thing that you know without a question is coming your way probably within the next 24 hours. You know something's going to come. Okay, I am not talking to you about the next week, the next month, the next year, or the rest of your life. The target, the goal is one time, once. I'm going to challenge you and ask you to pray now. And when you get to that moment, know you knew the moment was coming, the situation was going to arise, and you've already made a deal with God. You have agreed that you are going to suffer through that and win one time. Can we all try that? Now, let me tell you something. Sin is addictive, but so is righteousness. Because you get through it and go, you know what? I don't have to live this way. I don't have to do this again. I don't have to be this person. I don't have to react anymore. I don't have to be angry. I don't have to get high. I don't have to let this control me. And then you do it again and again and again. And then you put a new life together. and you have power and you get outside of yourself. And then because of what God's done in and through you, you start looking around, you meet somebody else and go, well, I can't quit this. I can't do this. You go, let me tell you my story. I couldn't either, but I made it one time. Then I made it two times and I made it three times and I made it 10 times. I made it 20 times and I'm still one day at a time, but I'm making it more than conquerors.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.